Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Psalm 27 tonight as we continue going through the Psalms, some of the Psalms, on Wednesday night. Sometimes I will preach expository and messages, and tonight I want to use a topical message from this 27th Psalm, How to Face Discouragement. How to face discouragement. You know, there are a lot of people going through trials, and there are a lot of things out there that are very, very discouraging to people. We find that if we talk to people very long. Now, I've been going house to house and using a little prayer card, and I'm asking people if they have a prayer need. And I just keep these in my pocket. And I'll write down on the prayer card what their prayer need is and get from them the information about who they are and where they live if they'll give that to me. Because we're going to have people go back. But I can tell you, I've discovered since I've been doing this, and I knew it was true, but I've discovered there are a lot of people who are discouraged out there. They have a lot more problems than you and I could imagine tonight, and they really need some help. I went to one home the other day, just to give you an idea, and I can give you 20 or 30 illustrations of it within just a matter of a couple of weeks. But this one house I went to, I asked the lady if she had a prayer need. I introduced myself, and we chatted a little bit, and I said, "Do you have a prayer need?" And she said, "Well, I have a whole list." And she said, I'm glad you came by." I said, "Well, tell me about it." She said, "Well, I was working for a surgeon, and I lost my job, and I have not been able to find another job, and we really need my job." She said, "Not only that, my husband hurt his Achilles heel and said that he is laid up right now, and he's not able to work." And during the process, they found out that he had some very serious kidney problems and probably is going to have to go on dialysis. Now, that's a young couple with a couple of children, and they have all of those problems. I went a couple of houses down from there, and I met a guy, and I said, "Do you have a prayer need?" He said, "I certainly do." And he was telling me about his daughter who almost died when she had her first baby. And he said, "She's fixing to have twins, and man, I want you to be praying for her, that those twins will be born okay and that she won't have the difficulties." They actually gave her up for dead when the first baby was born, and they told the doctors, "Don't unplug that apparatus, just leave it alone, let's let God take care of it." And she revived, and they prayed a lot, but God brought her through it. That's just a couple of that. Those were on the same block. Saturday I was visiting and visited a guy. He said, "Come on in." Brother Wren was with me on Saturday. He said, "Come on in," hollered, and that's sort of unusual. We actually have people give us water and offer for us to come in and have a Baptist drink with them and that type thing. But this guy hollered, "Come on in," and he didn't have his shirt on. And he had scars from here to here and all across here. And I got to talking to him and his wife, and as we talked about it, he told me about the surgery he had had and what he was fixing to have to go through again, some very difficult things. And then his wife's brother, his brother-in-law, had just found out that he had some very serious heart problems and almost died with a heart attack. And he said, "I'd like for you to pray about those things." And I'm just illustrating for you that we all have difficulties and all have situations like that. By the way, he was so amazed that at the end, we didn't ask him to come to church or anything like that. We just wanted to show him God's love. And we got ready to go. He said, "Don't you want a donation or something?" I said, "No, we don't need a donation. We don't want a donation." You know, there's nothing wrong with loving people to Jesus Christ, is it? To go out and help them out and meet some of their needs. And I believe if you really study the life of Christ, you'll find out that that's what he did most of the time. But I'm just saying to you that I know that in our society and in this building tonight, There are people here with burdens that you don't know anything about. Now, I'll illustrate this. Brother Bufford won't mind, but he just came in my office before he came out here and said somebody had stolen his Social Security number, has already charged $500 on that. Will you be praying for Brother Bufford and Ms. Bufford? Well, I hope they catch those rascals and they can take care of that. But we could go around this auditorium tonight and we could talk to a lot of people that are facing discouragement one way or the other. There are all kinds of things that come. But look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 27:14. And this is something very difficult to do sometime. Well, let's back up to 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and he will give us the strength. Now, you can read this psalm in your own time, but David, of course, had gone through a lot of trouble, and it was not unusual for him to present those troubles as he would talk about them in Psalm. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be strong and of a good courage. Discouragement comes to all of us. Some have more than others, but we all have those discouragements. Did you know Moses had some discouragements? And Paul had some discouragements, as great as he was. And I believe that others did. And of course, obviously, David did, as we said. It doesn't matter whether you're a laborer or whether you're an executive, whether you're a preacher or a missionary. Doesn't matter what it may be. We all face times of discouragement in our lives. Sometimes it's sickness. I went by the hospital yesterday morning to see Dr. House. Went in and had prayer with he and his wife before she went into surgery. Believe me, there's a man, I'm sure, whose heart is heavy right now because his wife has a malignant brain tumor that they had to remove and a lot of problems that come along with all of that. And many of us go through those times of being afflicted and having sickness. And the older you get, sometimes the more of those things you have. Now, young people are not immune to them. But we get to that place where there are problems and physical difficulties that we have, and especially older people, senior citizens, have to deal with that all of the time. And I guarantee you sometimes they get a little discouraged about it. Successful people get discouraged too. It doesn't matter. All kinds of people do. Sometimes we get discouraged from opposition. Anybody here tonight never had any opposition? I've had opposition, I guarantee you. I've been pastoring 40 plus years, and I grant you that throughout those years there's been some opposition, and the devil sees to it, and some of it I've created myself probably. But opposition comes, and we've all had it. Sometimes we have financial problems. Nowadays people are really going through a lot of difficulties. Gas price is so high, that's changed everything, hasn't it? Just about everything. If you want to buy your big old Texas truck, now's the time to go get it, because they'll discount it about $8,000. Now, you'll have to park it, but you won't be able, you know, you may not be able to drive it, but at least you can brag about your big sale that you got. But we have all kinds of difficulties: financial, physical, mental stress. Sometimes it's moral difficulties. But we've got to strengthen our heart in the Lord. We just have to. We look at the world situation right now and what's going on all over the world, and I'm telling you, if I didn't know the Lord, I'd be pretty discouraged about everything. And I'm glad that I know who He is, and I know He's in charge and He's sovereign, and I'm thankful tonight that I know He's allowing certain things that I don't like at all, but He's carrying out His plan. We have to trust God and believe that God's going to do that. And sometimes there's a problem of failing. Everybody fails sometime. My goodness. We all fail sometimes, but sometimes We have difficulties because of failures, and that gets us discouraged. Sometimes we have good friends that desert us. David had his Ahithophel. Jesus had his Judas. And many times we have family members and others that break our hearts and hurt us. But we just have to say, Lord, I know you're with me. Holy Spirit, give me the strength that I need. Help me out. And I want to tell you, God has never failed you. And remember that. David brought up some things in this psalm about what God had done, and he knew what God was going to do, and that God was going to take care of him. And I can go forward, and you can go forward. We can do God's will. What do we do when we're discouraged? Number one, I believe, is go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And I know we certainly ought to pray, but we need to go to the Word of God. And some of these can be done almost simultaneously. I mean, at the same sitting. But we need to go to the Bible. When you get discouraged, do you go to God's Word? I have a Bible, a couple of them that people have given me, called The Precious Promises of God. And I love those little, they look like a soul-winning New Testament. I can turn in there and just follow down according to whatever the subject may be, whatever the trial may be, and go look at all of those verses and read them and claim them for my own on that occasion, and it's a blessing to me. They're already lined up. Yeah, you might do it on your computer or something. I don't know. Look up the subject. But thank God that we can read it, and if we will rely on His promises, it'll get us through. And I always, seems like I'm always going back to Romans 8:28, but I don't know of any verse that is any more powerful and one that is maybe perhaps more understood, but one that we need to depend on. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Not just the good things. We say, boy, it's a good thing, you know. The Lord says, rejoice with those who rejoice and be sad with those who are sad. And the Lord says, rejoice in any circumstance, not just when, I started to say when you win the lottery, but I'm sure you wouldn't do that. But whenever somebody gives you an inheritance, we can say, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, He's on my side. But what if your air conditioner goes out and it costs you $7,000 next week? Do you still say praise God anyway? I believe there's something in the Bible that teaches us. And the book of James says, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the trials are, we are to have the right attitude toward God. And I know sometimes that's sort of difficult when you're going through trials. But God tells us that everything is working out and God is using it. Somehow He's going to bring glory to Himself through that trial. Somehow He's going to get the glory through the blessing or the trial or whatever we go through. God has a way of turning that, something that seems to be so terrible, God can turn that into something that is so so great. Now, I could give you a lot of illustrations tonight, but I don't have the time to do it. And you know some that God brings to your mind, but over and over and over and over again in my ministry, I've seen things that seem to be tragedies, and God just flipped them over, and many people got saved. I think of a lady who had pneumonia, a young lady who was on my soul winning team. We had three that would go out. She had pneumonia. She died. And as I told you, I've used that illustration before and told you about it before, but some 33, 35 people got saved as a result of this lady who had prayed for her mother for years, who was an elderly Roman Catholic lady, and she got saved. But Pat would say, if it takes my death, God, I want my mama to be saved. Well, not only did her mother get saved, Pat died, the children got saved, her husband got saved, her mother got saved, and 30-something people got saved. Now, I'll never forget driving over the mountain on a snowy day to do her funeral. And it was a very difficult time, but God used it. One time we had three little boys that drowned. They were waiting on a bus to pick them up, not a church bus, a Saturday activity. James Madison University would run a bus out there and take them into something there on campus. And those boys' parents left them, neighbor boys, and two boys and one neighbor boy, and they decided to ride their bicycles out on their pond in the winter in the ice. And as they were riding, they decided to double up on one bicycle. That bike went through, and the other boy tried to save him. He went under, and once you get under that heavy ice and everything, they just froze to death. They called me. We didn't know what was going on. One of our men who lived out there called and said they'd been missing. And then he called the next day and said they found them and they're all dead. But I can tell you, I led person after person after person, relatives, nephews, cousins, people got saved. I mean, some tough, rough people came to Jesus Christ. God allowed it to happen, and God used it for His glory. Philippians tells us that we're to be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And of course, the beautiful 23rd Psalm is just a reminder again and again that though we walk through the valley of death, though we go through discouraging times, we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the Scripture. If you're discouraged tonight, I promise you, if you'll get in the Word of God and make that one of the things you do, you'll come out of your discouragement because the Word of God is powerful. Second thing likened to it is pray. You know, Satan hates for Christians to pray. I believe in prayer. How about you? I really believe in prayer. Oh, I know sometimes it seems like God is not listening, He doesn't hear. But leave it to the wisdom of God. If He says no, God will answer your prayer. He'll say, wait a while, yes or no. It's not the right thing. It's not the best. We've just got to trust God no matter what happens. I believe in prayer. I would hate to try to pastor and preach and do what a Christian has to do if I didn't have prayer. I thank God for the privilege that He has given us. How many people have prayer and don't use it and don't spend time in prayer with God? What a shame it is. We must find time to pray. And when you get discouraged, you need to rush to the Word of God, and then you need to get on your knees and talk to God about it. God is your friend. God loves you. Oh, He's an awesome God and a sovereign God, but He loves you tonight. And He wants you to come to Him and tell Him about your trials and your heartaches and how you feel. Many a time David would do that. Cry out unto Almighty God and tell Him how much it was hurting and all the problems that he was having. You've heard the old saying, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. And that's true. Satan does not like prayer because that's how we get a hold of God. And when we get a hold of God, something happens. Paul said in Thessalonians, we're to pray without ceasing. Amen? In other words, be in an attitude of prayer all the time. There are those special times and there are those very difficult times, but always be in an attitude of prayer. Don't close your eyes on the interstate. You can pray with your eyes open. Did you know that? Did you know you can stand on the promises of the Word of God sitting down? You can. Everybody can stand. There's some people in the hospital bed standing on the promises tonight. And you can also pray with your eyes open as you're riding along, talking to God in your car, wherever it may be, or maybe they're at work, whatever it is. Just talk to God. Be in an attitude of prayer. That'll help you out. That'll help me out as we are talking to God and going to God in prayer. Pray without ceasing. If you're lonely, pray. God is there for your loneliness. If you're sick, pray. God is there to help you in that time of sickness. If you fail, get on your face before God and tell God that you have failed and repent and confess your sin, and the joy of the Lord will return to your heart. David said, restore the joy of thy salvation to me. He didn't say, save me again. I lost my salvation. He said, Lord, I've failed you. Restore unto me the joy of the Lord. And if we have that problem, we ought to fall on our faces before God. If we are in some way going through a dark valley, we've got to remember what David said in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's our light. He's the one who's going to see us through that. And we just have to trust the Lord to do it. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, there were two altars there. And the prophets of Baal called on the false gods that really were no gods, and they didn't get any answer. And Elijah prayed, not a long, drawn-out prayer. He just got a hold of Almighty God. And God did His work, His omnipotent, all-powerful work, to show that He was God. And if He's God, serve God. If Baal's God, serve Baal. I believe this, things happen when we pray. I've had hundreds of times, hundreds, in my life and ministry that I prayed when things were really dark and dim and dismal, and God saw me through them. And I thank God that He did. He's always there. And then a third thing very quickly, and that is, come back to the work God has called you to. Come back to the work that God has called you to. The reason some people, I think, are discouraged is because somehow they have gotten away from that definite task that God has given them. And I would just say, if you get discouraged in the work, please do your best not to get tired of the work. A lot of preachers get discouraged in the work. We cannot afford to get tired of the work. If it's a Sunday school teacher, or a deacon, or a leader in some other capacity, soul winner, whatever it may be, just get back to the task and stick with it and stay with it and don't quit. You don't determine a person's greatness by their abilities and their talents and all those things. You determine a person's greatness in the spiritual realm by what does it take, what does it really take to discourage you? And we have to keep going. Many a preacher has quit. I'm thinking of one right now that came to me one time, gave me all of his commentaries, a lot of his books, and I tried to talk him out of it, and I said, man, you know, don't do this. He just got so discouraged, he quit. He knew God had called him to preach and had been pastoring for a number of years. I believe we have to get back to what God's called us to do. Do what He says. God, I believe this, gives courage to those who will serve Him. I'm a firm believer of that. God will give courage to those that serve Him. If we're honest with God in our time, if we're honest with God in our treasure and our gifts, our talent, if we're honest with God in these areas of stewardship, I believe then God will give us courage if we're honest with Him and we do what we're supposed to do. And I'm convinced, as you study the Word of God, you find out God blesses obedient Christians. You think God's going to equally bless somebody who's disobedient? No more than you would with your own children and your family. God's not going to do that. God recognizes obedience, and God recognizes those who are seeking His face, just like He told David here. And David said, Lord, You told me to seek Your face, and I am seeking Your face. That's what we need to do. Seek the very face of God. Know God. Paul said that I may know Him. Well, Paul had known Him a long time. Paul had been saved a long time. But he wanted to know Him intimately. He wanted to serve God and be intimate with Almighty God. That's what we need, is a close, close relationship with God. God expects it, and we need it, and it'll be a blessing to us. Happiness comes to people who trust God. Happiness comes to people who love God. Amen. Do you love God tonight? Not just for what He's done, not all it, but I mean just you just love Him. Amen. You know Him, you know, when I first met my wife, it wasn't long until I knew her. I knew her name, I knew she was Carolyn Fitzpatrick, and I had spies out watching her everywhere. And then I asked her to marry me, and then we got married, and then I knew her a little bit better. But I want to tell you, after all these years, if she looks this way or that way, I know exactly what it means. Amen? Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not so good. But she is my wife, and I love her, and we are intimate partners. God has placed us together, and I can just about anticipate by the way she walks through the house whether I've done something right or whether I've done something wrong. Any of you men want to raise your hand and say amen, you know what I'm talking about, amen. And women, you know too about your husbands. God wants us to love Him, doesn't He? Love Him and know Him, be intimate, trust God, and live according to His Word, and keep a song in your heart. Somehow, keep a song in your heart. That's what He's saying. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. I don't have time to show you, but in that 27th chapter, He was saying, basically, what He was saying in one place was sing and shout. I don't want to mess up your theology, you Baptists, but sing and shout. Be happy in the Lord. That's what He was saying. Be happy in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Just keep waiting on Him. Don't get mad at Him. Don't get down in the dumps. Don't get depressed. Just go to God's Word. Go to God in prayer. Do what God's called you to do. Be faithful to serve the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, you'll come out of those doldrums somehow or another, unless it's a very unusual physiological situation like a brain tumor or something like that that cannot be controlled medically. But I'm just saying these things are the standards that God has given us. Now, why is this important? Because some quit. Because some fall by the wayside. And some get discouraged. In spite of the day-by-day troubles, and we all have them, we've got to stay true to God. We don't need to be, and I'm not trying to be a Phil Graham, but we don't need to be a bunch of Christian whiners, amen? We really don't. We need to see the blessings and the good that God has for us. And in the battle for courage, don't complain. And you know what a lot of people do when they get discouraged? They start blaming everybody else, fault finding. You know, it doesn't take any brains to be a fault finder and be critical, does it? And a lot of times it's just advertising other things about us. Just commit to loving and serving the Lord and doing these things. And we should be happy Christians that are on top of things with Jesus Christ for His honor and glory. Let's stand, please. How to face discouragement. Go to the Word of God. Pray. Live for Jesus. Serve Him. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. We know that all of us are human. And all of us are prone to facing some discouraging times. But thank You, dear God, that You have taught us and told us what we're to do. And we're glad tonight, God, we can go to Your Word. We can get on our knees. That's what this altar's for. Among other things, for us to bring our burdens, grandchildren who break our hearts, sickness, financial problems, other needs, whatever they may be, God, feeling like we fail or not accomplishing what we really want to in life, what we really anticipated, maybe expected. Lord, help us to cast all of our cares upon You, because You care for us. And go to the Word of God, bow a knee before Thee, and ask for Your help. May You speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.